Like I say, we're glad to be here this evening. We appreciate the privilege, opportunity to be here. We're glad that you're here. If you want to read with us tonight, we're going to read some out of the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans, the 10th chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. Just ask you to pray for us just a minute. Might be able to get ourselves out of the way. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord this evening. We are, as they sang a song from time to time, we are so blessed. So blessed. Whatever reason, while the song service was going on, I was thinking about Joseph. And he was down in Egypt. And how the Lord had blessed Joseph in a strange land. But Joseph knowed something. Same thing we know, a long time before it happened, but he left instructions that when they left Egypt, that they carry his bones out. He didn't get to be in that deliverance. But yet he knew. He knew it was coming. I think I'm just going to talk to you just a minute before I say anything. I don't know, a lot of things rolling, I guess, one way or another. But it amazes me, and I begin to look at the obits around the counties. I always have. Sometimes I'll go a couple of weeks. Sometimes I'll go 2 or 3 weeks. But it amazes me. It really does. How many people's leaving this world and they're younger than I am? Joseph knowed Lord was going to visit him. But he also knew that he was going to die prior to that happening. Preparations. You know, people prepare for a lot of different things. And it seems like the most important thing in life that they'll put off just as long as they can. May not mean nothing to you. It breaks my heart. It does. It breaks my heart to read an obit that's 20-year-old, 22-year-old, 17-year-old. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know what some of y'all probably know the young man a whole lot better than I did, but I got acquainted with him through where we worked. He was coming up through the ranks, so to speak, and he'd come by the plant every now and again. I got acquainted with him. Young man by the name of Andy Waters. And it shocked me, it really did. It shocked me when I read in the obit that Andy had died. And just as of last week, they was three other incidences. I don't know what happened, what have you, but of young men that died in an ATV accident. Probably doing something that they really enjoyed doing. Really enjoyed. Preacher, how do you... Well, I've owned an ATV. I know how enjoyable it is. There's... But things get out of control sometimes. I read an old bit. I'm going to give it to you, just a little bit of it. There's a song that come on the way up, at, right before I got here, basically. It ended about 200-300 yards down the road there. And that song says that Jesus is coming at midnight, and it is 11:59. The title of the song is 11:59. Jesus is coming at midnight. I think about the scripture of the 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. He come. He come. 5 was ready, 5 wouldn't. 5 was wise, 5 was not wise. We're probably not going to change the way of man. The only thing that'll change the way of man is the Lord Jesus Christ. I read an old bit of a young lady. She's a junior down at Kennesaw State. And they put a lot of different things in her that she had accomplished in her, basically, her high school and her college days. And several things had went on, normal things, but had in there that she learned to fly before she learned to drive. There's not many that does that. And while she was going to KSU, she worked down at Telus. Now, several different things. And I sat there and I began to think of just getting her life started. But what happened? Preacher, are you trying to trick us tonight? Not a bit. Death shows no respect.
Amen.
None. Now, what happens after death, we have a choice. We have a choice. Do we not? We have a choice. Tenth chapter, Book of Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, had they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now I know this is a fairly familiar scripture. And I know this evening that this is not anything new, not that I have anything new, but we're going to try our best to do that we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. Now, sometimes we think that we know just how the Lord's going to work things and how he's going to move in things. And sometimes he gives us some scripture, as he has tonight, and I back off sometimes a little bit, and I say to myself, my warfare, well, Lord, that probably won't work for the people of tonight. Listen. You say, preacher, you don't do that. Yes, I do. I might not already tell you some of these things, but it's just how it comes to me sometimes. and some things that I feel that it may not be fitting. But do you know, I really don't know. I really don't know. I don't know exactly what you need, but I'm thankful the Lord does. And I'll say this, sometimes it does us good just to take a little inventory about how things are and have been in our lives. I'm going to talk to you tonight, Lord help me, just a little bit about being saved. Being saved. The Bible says here that Paul's heart's desire for Israel is what? That they might be saved. That they might be saved. The Scripture teaches us, and we see a lot of times, and we talk to people a lot of times, and brethren, when people come down to the altar, we don't know altogether what's going on. I promise you we don't. I've said this many a time, and I'll say it again. I'll promise you that you have no clue what that next and sitting to you is thinking. You have no clue. Zero. Zero. And you have no clue why other people come to the house of God. You have no clue. I promise you. It would amaze you, brethren, what people think. It would. You say, preacher, you going to talk to us about being saved? My friend, we've got it down to a jot and a tittle. Yes, we have. And I don't know about you, but I, number one, I like to see some evidence. I do. Brethren, when they went over and spied out Canaan, did they not bring the evidence back with them? Yes, they did. The Bible says they brought a cluster of grapes between two men. It took two of them to haul that cluster of grapes. They had the evidence. And brethren, having the evidence, they believed the evil report. Did they not? You say, preacher, I'm saved. I got saved years ago, and I got up and told the church that I was saved, and I'm saved. Well, I'm going to preach to you tonight just a little bit, brethren, about bringing the evidence. Listen, brethren, it will not work tonight, brethren, to tell me that you're a Christian and I've never, ever see the evidence. Shoot me. It's a fact. Brethren, if you've ever been born again, thank God there'll be a difference in your life. Yes, they will. They will. Something change in you, brethren, that you cannot change yourself. Glory! Hallelujah! Tell me, you believe in Jesus? Thank God, show me you've been there. Preacher, I thought I was going to enjoy this message. Listen, I'm not here tonight, my friend, to part hairs with you. I'm not here tonight, my friend. Paul had a desire that Israel might be saved. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Makes no difference who you are, my friend. That's exactly where you'll wind up tonight. You can read the obits. They can tell you all that they've accomplished. And most of the time, it'll put in there, and they was a member of such and such church. Or they was a member of the Baptist faith. Listen, it ain't about an obit tonight. My friend, it's about living. Brethren, and living for God when He saves you. Elisha went out to see the battle one day. And he had a servant with him. And that servant looked at him and he said, "There's more of them than they are of us." Huh? Huh? I got news for you. We might look small, thank God, in number. Sometimes, folks, it's smaller than what we're showing. Preacher, there's something wrong with you. My heart's desire, I'm going to say for you, is that you might be saved. You say, "Preacher, we all saved in the house." I hope you are. I'm still going to preach what God give me. I'm not your judge, number one. Do you know I'd hate to be your judge? There's a lot of folks, my friend, when they get saved, that's exactly what they become. A judge. And they cannot enjoy their Christian life for being a judge tonight. I know people like that, don't you? Can't enjoy anything because they're looking at what everything else is going on. I got news for you. God knows how to show mercy unto whom He's going to show mercy. Yes, sir. And He's going to bless them. Thank God that needs blessing tonight. Whether we like it or not. Who was it? Balak? Old Balak? The irony of this that Balak is talking about, my friend, is that the children of Israel just got finished saying, "We be like grasshoppers in our own eyes." Yes, sir. Balak didn't think so. Do you know it? Balak didn't think so. He saw them coming. Yes, he did. He went down there and sent for the man of God. Yes, he did. Man of God started out right. He said, "I can't go with you. The Lord hadn't given me permission to go with you." He said, "Will you inquire again?" So he inquired. You know what the Lord said? He said, if the men come to thee, you go with them. That's what he said. In simple terms. Old Balaam, my friend, got everything ready. Saddled his ass, got everything ready. In the morning, here he goes. Did he not? Yes, sir. Voluntarily. Voluntarily. You said, preacher, God said he could go. He said, if the men come get you. Yes, sir. God knows who to bless. Yes, he does. He knows how to get our attention. Crafton, don't he? Yes. I'm a strange character. You'll find that out if you don't already know it. Preacher, what's this got to do? I'm going to tell you what this has got to do. It's simple obedience to God. That's where your blessings come from. And brethren, you'll never put on anything that'll make you a Christian. Never. Never, ever. It's difficult. It is. It's difficult for some people. Let me go on. I'll come back. Balaam run off down through there. Did he not? His ass went right off in the field. He smote him. Yes, sir. Got him back online. Listen. Went a little further down through there and he jumped him up against the wall. Dashed his foot against the wall. Did he not? He smote him again. Went on down through there. After a while, he just laid down. Didn't he? Just laid down. Have you ever started doing something and just got to thinking the Lord's trying to get your attention? Huh? Why, preacher, I'm doing my own thing. Yeah, and your own thing, my friend, is deceiving a lot of people around you. Like me, dislike me. I say again, shoot me. There's more to being saved, my friend, than just saying I got saved. There's more to being saved, my friend, than just coming down to the altar. Old Balaam, sitting there, couldn't do a thing, and the dumb ass spoke to him. Did he not? He said, I've been with you, all his life. He said, never smote me, yet thou smitest me thrice. You know what the Lord done then? He opened his eyes. That dumb ass saved his life. Yes, sir. More than once. And then the Lord began to speak to Balaam. Did he not? Let me run on. Balak wanted them people that was like grasshoppers in their own eyes. That's what the book says. Listen. He wanted them cursed. He wanted them out of the land. He knowed, brethren, they was powerful. And he had heard of them. He got Balaam down there and he showed him this side. And old Balaam went and he talked to the Lord and God blessed him. Did he not? But I want you to know something. In all that happened, I believe Balaam done that three different times. And Balak told him, said, I brought you down here to curse these, and you've blessed them all together. Have you ever had somebody that you thought you wanted God to curse? My friend, get a hold of. I worked with a man, my friend, that he had come to me two or three different times. He said, I want you to go talk to my daughter. And I told him, I said, if I get the liberty, I will. He come back and he said, I want you to go to talk to my daughter. I will, but I'm waiting on something. You hear me? He come back the third time. He said, I want you to go talk to my daughter. And before he left my office, he turned around. He looked at me and he said, no. He said, I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to. Listen, Brett, you don't know what God's working with on the other side, my friend. You might be the very, very person that helps whomever it is that you think needs help. And sometimes that costs us, Leroy, don't it? Yes, sir. Preacher, God don't work that way with me. Well, He will. He will. You just give Him a minute. Saved. Saved. What does it mean? Saved. I got saved last night. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. I'm going to tell you as simple as I know how. My friend, and I was on a rough road. I'm just going to be honest with you, as honest as I can tonight, folks. I knowed my family. God knowed my family. My mother got saved. Things changed a little around the house. And some of it changed for the worse to begin with. Yes, sir. Caused some ill feelings. Preacher, you ought not talk about it. I lived in this house. You hear me? I lived in this house. My mother had asked me firmly, wouldn't I just go to church with her? And my number one thing is, Daddy going? Daddy ain't going. I ain't going either. She didn't make me. She could have. She didn't make me. Listen, this went on for a few months. What does it mean to be saved? I got up one morning, I believe it was a Thursday morning. My mother was in there. Now, she made us breakfast, but she was in there cooking breakfast. She had a lot of things set out on the table. Wasn't nobody coming. Just me and my two sisters. Listen. And I sat down. Brethren, that woman got to talking to me. My mother said, son, I want you to know God saved me last night, and I just want you to know I love you. Started crying, I mean, just bawling. I thought this woman lost her mind. I was 15 years old. I knowed some stuff. Really? That's how I felt? Huh? I want you to know, past that night, that woman knowed one thing. She knowed she was going Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. She done it. Yes, sir. Went on for a few months. My dad, I can't remember, he was 41, 42 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. My dad belonged to a church of which we went to in my younger years. But my dad wasn't no Christian. You hear me? I was following right in his steps. Them boys I hung around with at school, they wasn't no Christian. No, sir. I wouldn't either. And my dad, one Wednesday night, I never will forget it. He called me in there, went to bed early. He always got up early, went to work early, all that stuff. He was in bed, and it had to be probably 7:30. And I was sitting in there. He said, "Randy, come here." My dad didn't ever call me when he went to bed. Number one thing, I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue. I went in there, and these are the words my dad spoke to me. And he said, "Son," he said, "your mama has gone crazy." Number one thing he said. He said, "She thinks more of them church. She loves them people and them preachers more than she does me." And he said, "I am leaving." That's what he said. "I'm leaving." That's a whole lot to put on a 15-year-old. But I knowed everything. You hear me? I had everything under control in my life. Son, I didn't sleep much that night. Bothered me. Bothered me. Lo and behold, the next morning about 2:30, next to my dad's bed, he got saved. Huh? He got saved, Leroy. Saved. Folks, I want you to know saved means saved. I knowed my dad. My dad didn't do the things he did before. Some of the things he didn't do. And he had he wasn't a foul mouth, but he knowed how to cuss a lot. You hear me? Did you know what? He didn't cuss no more. Huh? No more. Huh? Preacher, we talking from one day to the next. We sure are. When you get saved, my friend, you may not understand everything that's going on. But I'll promise you one thing, folks. There will be a change. You can't help it. You can't help it. No, sir. Needless to say, come Sunday morning, we're going to church. All of us. All of us. I've told some of this before, but I was sitting about three-quarters of the way back on this side of the church. Brother Carlton Rogers was the pastor of this church, Union Grove. My first service in a Baptist church. And I left there because I probably knowed more than he did. But I left there with the thoughts, that man's a madman. He's a wild man. And I didn't get one thing out of what he said. Yeah. That was my thoughts, Crafton. But you know what happened? We come back Sunday night. Same thing. Over again. Everything's fine with me. I laid my head on my pillow. Brethren, I didn't hear the words of Carlton Rogers. Huh? But I heard a voice. Like something got to troubling me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know how long I went. I went a good little while. Month and a half. Quite a while. I was fine. Right where I was at. Until one Wednesday night. And this particular Wednesday night, we always had a prayer meeting, what this is called prayer meeting, testimony meeting. Somebody get up and read chapter, and then everybody get up, stand, talk a little bit. This and that, always. That's Wednesday night. Never was anything different. This night, Brother Carlton got up and he said, I feel like preaching. Huh? So he preached. Yes, sir. Not only did he preach, he gave an altar call. On Wednesday night. He never did preach, much less give an altar call. The first verse, I stood back there and trembled and shook. Yes, sir. And I thought to myself, me, a warring in a terrible place, in a place that I didn't know what to do. And I thought, Lord, they sang one more verse, I'll go. What's the chances of that, huh? They don't normally do this on Wednesday night. Old Carlton, they sung that verse. Carlton got down in the front here and he said a few words and a few things and he got preaching a little bit more and he turned to old Bob Langley and he said, Bob, he said, sing one more verse. Wouldn't nobody in the house, it probably meant as much to as it did me. You hear me? But brethren, I heard it. I felt it. I don't know altogether what went on. I can't tell you to this day. I remember asking the Lord to save me. Outside of that, I don't know what I said. I'm promising. I don't know what all went on. I got up and I got in front of the church. I said, Lord, save me. Thank God they about shouted the house down, this and that. Now they've been praying for me. Huh? Ain't that the way it is, Crafton? Boy, we'll get to praying for people, my friend. When they get it, you want a victory with them. Rightfully so. Just like bringing forth a child into the world. Yes, sir. And that's exactly what it was. Before I left the church that night, the devil told me, he said, ain't nobody go to school with you over here. Said, you ain't got to tell nobody else. So you go to school tomorrow and everything be just fine. I laid down with that. I done agreed with him. That's real quick, you know what? I done agreed with him. I rode to church with my friend down a couple of houses down. Rode to school with him. Mile and a half, 2 miles. We got in his car. He backed out in the road and he headed toward school. A little old bridge down there, 300-400 yards. Before we got to that bridge, I done looked at Eddie. I said, Eddie, the Lord saved me last night. Huh? And he was happy. Yeah, he's a good friend. Listen, devil told me right then, he said, you done messed up. Folks, I've been messed up ever since. Thank God. I mean, thank God. Things changed in my life. Preacher, did you change them? I didn't change them. You hear me? This is what I really want you to get a hold of. My friend, if there's not been a change, thank God, then nothing's at home. I believe with all my heart. I went to school on Thursday morning. I got around on the balcony over there, and there's about five or six of us always gathered together. I walked right over amongst them. And the same thing we was talking on Wednesday, they was talking on Thursday, and it cut me to heart. I mean, just like cutting me. And I backed up a minute and I said, where'd I go from here? Huh? I didn't know what to do. I didn't. Listen. I love them old boys. They're still my friends. They asked me several times to go with them on certain things. And I said, boys, I can't go with you. Now, I couldn't do that, Robert. I didn't have that willpower. I didn't have enough in me, my friend, to tell them I can't do it before. You hear me? Before. But thank God, after I got saved, brethren, they are something. I didn't really want to go with them. Do you know that? I didn't really want to go that route no more. You say, preacher, I ain't got that kind of salvation. Thank God, that's the kind you need. Does it not work that way? I can't tell you everything he does and how he does it. I can't, Crafton. I've not always, my friend, been in the right. I know what it is to go left when the Lord's saying go right. But I want you to know he walked with me the very first step and said, this is not the way. The first step. Thank God I listened. I didn't go far. I ain't never been far. I ain't never wanted to go far. No, sir. Been tempted to. Yes, sir. Been tempted to. Brother, temptation will come from every kind of people. Some of your bestest friends. But listen, there's something inside of me, my thing, that will not let me live like I used to. Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. I'm going to read you just a little bit of scripture. You say, preacher, I just don't know whether it works that way or not. Well, I got news for you. It's 2024. That was 1970. And I want you to know, people get saved, it works the same way. It ain't been changed. Preacher, you put me on the spot. If that puts you on the spot, then you need to be put on the spot. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Never thought about preaching in my life. Never. Didn't have a desire to be a preacher. I was a choir director. I was a Sunday school teacher. And here it was, the Lord wanted me to preach. Lord, I ain't no preacher. I didn't say that out loud. Initially, people call it running from their preaching. I don't know what you call it. The realization of me knowing what the Lord was dealing with me with, I had to have some confirmation. I went in three-month periods, 9 months. I don't know why it worked that way. That's just the way it went. I got an altar and I'd cry and I'd pray and I'd beg. And I'd get up and I'd just tell the church, I said, I just ain't been doing what the Lord want me to. Run old Fred Coker in Dry Creek, about drove him batty. Seriously. In the altar, shy boy, never would say nothing in church. I'd give my testimony every now and again. That's about all you'd get out of me. After 3 months, I wound up, I don't know why, it was revival time. No way it was. Spring revival, I wound up Dry Creek altar. Summer revival, I wound up in Dry Creek altar. Yes, sir. Then I went a long stretch. Went about 6 or 7 months. The Lord dealing with me, I mean dealing, and talking to me. I don't care where people believe it or not. My friend, I could hear him speak to me, and it was so loud, I'd turn around. There'd be nobody. I'm talking about down in the aisle of carpet. I worked at a carpet mill and shipping down there, and I had aisles and aisles of carpet rolls. Lord get to talking to me, and I'd turn around and look. Wouldn't be a soul. Preacher, you're not telling nobody that. Folks, it happened. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I know what I heard. Call my name, I mean. More than once, Crafton. More than once. Called it so much one day that I run down to the next aisle. I know somebody was playing tricks on me. Somebody in that plant playing tricks on me. I never saw a man. Hear me? And I went on, I guess, about 2 months before I give up my calling, when I realized and really realized, Lord, I ain't no preacher. That's what I told him. At that point, I quit reading my Bible. Preacher, I wouldn't tell you. I did. I quit. I didn't miss a service. Still at church. Taught Sunday school. Imagine that. Choir directed. And I wouldn't read that Bible. You know why I wouldn't? I thought in myself, I said, if I don't know it, he'll never call me to preach. That's exactly what I thought. I thought you had to know a lot of it. You hear me? That's what Randy thought. There come one communion foot washing night. It was in May. 1976. I never will forget it. And the church, it's a long service. Y'all know it's a long service. Communion foot washing service. At that time, they'd have a preacher to preach. Then they'd have two more preach at the table. Yes, sir. The long service. Somewhere in that service, I wound up in the altar. I really don't remember at the moment. Whether it was before, I don't know. I just don't know. Well, I do. It was after foot washing. I wound up in the altar and I stayed there for about 2 hours. And I was holding on to this one little thing. Lord, they ain't nobody knows what I got to do, and I ain't going to do it. That was me. You hear me? That was me. And they did, the church. I wore them out. I know I wore them out. They'd come pray with me, and they'd come back, and I'm telling you, I was just in agony. Really. Miserable. Miss Myrtle Goodnight got up after the church done two or three times, done prayed with me. She sat right there where Cody's sitting. She got up and she said, "Church," she said, "there is something that Randy's got to do, and he ain't willing to do it." You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, "See there, huh? See there. I'm going to tell you something, Leroy. They didn't have to pray for me no more, huh? That was all I was holding. It's all I was holding. They just wouldn't. Nobody else in this world know what I was supposed to do, huh? Something he's supposed to do, and he ain't willing to do it. Let's just pray with him one more time." As I said, it was over. He told me, just looked at me, just like he's talking to you, Cody. And he said, "Randy," he said, "there's one. There's one." Yeah. Preacher, does it happen that way with everybody? No. No. But I can tell you one thing. I have prayed for people. I have looked for people to come. I have talked to people about getting saved. I have talked to people that looked me straight in the eye and said, "I know what I got to do, and I'm not going to do it." Yes, sir. And they wouldn't for a little while. I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. I've tried my best. Just simple terms. You say, "Preacher, it didn't happen that way for me." I want you to know something. They've got to be a change. They've got to be. The change is the evidence, if you didn't know. It's the evidence, brethren, that there's somebody home. Somebody living in there besides him. Now, there'll be times, sometime or another, that you'll get low. You'll get low. You'll get the feeling about like old David did in a place or two in Psalms when he cried out and said, "Lord, have you forsaken me? Huh? Have you left me?" Preacher, y'all don't get low. Says who? Says who? But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I really hadn't. I ain't been so low, my friend, that I didn't find him. Yeah. It might have been a rough spot. But I found him when I was low. Yes, sir. And I found him when I was high. Hadn't you? Oh, Elijah got him on the mountain over there, and he said, "Thank God, we're going to find out who God is." Didn't that what he said? Folks, I'm doing the same thing tonight. We're going to find out who God is. We're going to find out, my friend, what color you are. You say, "Preacher, you're not my judge." Amen. I'm glad I'm not. I'm glad I'm not. We live our life separately, individually. Every one of us do. Some of the hardest things I've ever done in my marriage is give in. Preacher. Some of the hardest things I've ever done is give in. But sometimes, I give in. Don't want you to think anything different, folks. If you live in any kind of relationship or marriage, any length of time, you're going to have disagreements. You're not going to see eye to eye. What was it old Height used to say? Preacher Height down home. He made the statement that him and his wife didn't argue. And after church, his little boy come up to him and he said, "I don't believe that." He said, "We don't argue," but he said, "sometimes our neighbors say we show our reasoning a lot." Sometimes we reason together. Do you know that? Now, I'm not saying anything for anything. My way is not always the right way, but God's way is. You hear me? His way is. There's things my family knows. No questions. They know. Folks, they know what I believe. They do, Crafton. They know how I stand. They think they hide some things from me, but they've never had them hid. You hear me? There's a little bird tells me a lot of things. I have woken completely out of my sleep, my friend, and God talked to me. Yeah. Hadn't you? Yeah. Preacher, I don't have that kind of relationship with my God. You need one.
Amen.
You need one. Whether you believe it or not, my friend, I don't care which way you go, whatever you do. Brethren, living in this world, if you are a Christian, you need to be in close tune with God. That piano right there can get out of tune. Sometimes we might pick up on it, but sometimes it's so close. But you know what? They come in and they'll tune that guitar with that piano. So now if that piano's out of tune, what's that guitar going to be? Out of tune. We got a lot of folks, my friend, that are out of tune. You hear me? They own the rhythm. They just out of tune. They've tuned to the wrong thing. We're living in a day. I'm not going to get into that. Did you know that Paul made havoc of the church? I know this is strange and I can't help it. But Paul made havoc of the church, but God needed Paul. He is Saul at that time, but God needed him. And I believe with all my heart that Saul come under conviction, I mean the first time conviction, at Stephen's death. I believe the scripture says so. Not, it don't say that he is under conviction, but it put him in the place. And they laid their garments at a young man's feet by the name of Saul. Why did it say that? Brother, God got a hold of Saul. Did he not? I don't know what your Damascus road will be, but I'll promise you one thing. I believe God's going to get a hold of you. I do. I believe he's going to find you. And you know what? You may sit here tonight or every service as far as that goes, and you may say everything's all right. But brethren, there's coming a time that you're going to be blinded, just like Saul. Just like Saul. I hear people testify about how and when the Lord dealt with them and when he got a hold of them and when he saved them. And brethren, they have no evidence after that day. There's a problem with that. Preacher, you ought not look at people. You ain't going to live in this world and not look at people. You ain't going to live in this world. I got 3 peach trees down there at the house. And I'll promise you they bear peaches every year of some sort. Might not ever get any of them, but still, that's what's on them. Peach. It's a peach. Had a man tell me not just long ago, he said, I got 2 plum trees. He said, I'd like to find me a couple of peach trees. And I had a couple. I said, well, let's just swap. He brought me 2 trees and I looked at them and I said, that ain't no plum tree. What? He said, them things ain't that big around. I said, they ain't no plums. I said, they what they call an old Indian peach. No. I said, yeah. So I dug up 2 peach trees and give him that bore peaches, and I've got 2 little old Indian peach trees. It's okay. It's okay. It ain't been that long ago that this happened. My daughter, she likes to can, and you know what kind of peaches she likes to can? Them little old Indian peaches. Yes, sir, it takes a lot more of them, but to her, best peaches around. Best peaches around. I like them big ones, but I'm going to eat one. Don't you? Yeah. I do. Listen, preacher, what do you mean? It wasn't no plum tree. I planted them. Last year they come out, had 3 or 4 little old peaches apiece, and they are. They're about that big around. But it's peaches. Ain't plums. Tree don't lie. Tree don't lie. It comes to us and the Lord. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I enter my mother's womb the second time? Not so. Not so. That's not what we're discussing. He said, that that's born of flesh is flesh, but that that's born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Did not Paul say in his preachings, he said, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's being born again. That's being saved, folks. Paul's testimony was so real that he had the hierarchy. Festus, Felix, and Caesar. And I believe it was Felix that told him and said, Paul, said, almost thou persuadest me. Almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And Paul's answer to him, listen, this man that made havoc of church, he talked to him and he said, I would to God that you is not almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Yes, sir. They believed him. Felix trembled. That was Festus, I guess. Felix trembled. Trembled. And you know what he told Paul after he began trembling? He said, Paul, thou art a madman. Is that not what he told him? Listen, folks. Preacher, this is old news. We all been saved. I had to preach it. Really makes no difference who's here. I had to preach it. I had to leave it. I had to bring it to you. Peter writing. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible things, but of the incorruptible Word of God. Is that not what he said? That's what he was begotten by. The incorruptible Word of God. If you get begotten, my friend, it'll be by the incorruptible Word of God. I hope you've got something out of this message. The truth of it is, it really wouldn't have bothered me if the house had been full. Sometimes Randy gets to thinking his way and he gets to looking and he says, hey, everybody's saved, ain't? Don't need a message like that. It is not a shame, folks. It is not a shame to have your name on the church roll and be lost if you'll just confess that you're lost. Now you're saved. I went to a revival a few years back. Been a few years. Me and I believe Brother Earl went. Brother McClure over here in LJ was running a revival down in Woodstock. We wound up down there at this church and we had a pretty good meeting that night. And we was walking out to the vehicle to go home. And there's this lady come up behind me and she said, can I talk to you? Sure. She said, I just want you to know, she said, I didn't get saved that week, but said the message you preached that week got me. And she said, I want you to know I was a Sunday school teacher. God got a hold of her. Listen, she said, I got saved. Amen. Got saved. Preacher, she's a Sunday school teacher. Well, she might have thought she was. Yeah. I bet she'd become a good one. Don't you? I really do.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, folks. Yeah. It's wonderful to be saved. Not just that, it's wonderful to live saved.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Wonderful. One writer said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all felt it here Sunday. Did you not? Flowed one from another. Did it not? Just like a pool. Brethren, and everybody was feeling it. Was they not? Couldn't help themselves. I call it the can't help it. I like it. Don't you? I like it when I can't help it. Gene, I like it. You do too. Well, preacher, I ain't in that mood right now. Well, I'll tell you, you need to get there. You hear me? I don't care how low things get, folks. God will still be with you. He said, matter of fact, he said, lo, I'll go with you even to the end of the world. Is that not what he said? I'm going to take it. Ain't you? I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take it. He'd be with me. Preacher, you said enough. You've bothered me enough. I probably have bothered some of you. But I hope and pray that it's bothered you enough to do something. You hear me? You leave this world, it ain't between me and you. No, sir. No, sir. It's between you and him. That's how it sits. That's where the platform is. That's where the level is. God expects the same thing out of people he expected 50 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 500 years ago. He still expects. Anybody got anything you need to say or do, leave with us.